Good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, or good evening, whatever time you're listening to this. I get to use my favorite greeting to you today. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's my privilege today to share some thoughts on peace, the third of the nine fruits of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Peace seems to be a very timely topic for our world today, surrounded as we are by fear, uncertainty, hatred, and violence. In fact, peace, as we'll look at it today, is always timely. The first two times Jesus met with his fearful disciples after his resurrection, he greeted them with these words, "Peace be with you." In every one of Paul's letters, his greeting was more or less the same, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." 1 and 2 Peter, 2 John, Jude, Revelation all begin with a greeting that includes peace. Peace is of God, from God. New Testament writers refer to him as the God of peace. Isaiah, hundreds of years before, predicting the coming Messiah in the scriptures that begin, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given," said he would be the Prince of Peace. When we turn to God in repentance and accept the forgiveness offered in Jesus' death for us, we are spiritually reborn. And God comes to live in us by his Holy Spirit. This begins the work of transformation into what God's children look and act like, the forming of the fruit of the Spirit in us. We're all familiar with the Hebrew word for peace, shalom, which has a broad meaning. To wish someone shalom would be to wish them wellness, happiness, friendship, prosperity, rest, safety, and security. The Greek word for peace, eirene, means more simply quietness, rest, and to set at one again. But since most of the New Testament writers were Jewish, they took the fuller Hebrew meaning of the word, including its spiritual implications, into their writings in the New Testament. What caught my attention, though, was the term to set at one again, and I began realizing the significance of that understanding. That's the thought on which I'd like to base my talk today on the fruit of peace. The first place of peace we must come to is to have peace with God. We're born with a bent to sin, and so we are immediately at odds with God. From babyhood on, we want our own way, and we experience conflict, dissatisfaction, fear, insecurity, frustration, and anger, all feelings that rob us of peace. Then, once we realize and accept that the God of peace has made a way for us to experience peace with him, he sends his Spirit into us and begins the work of transformation. Paul, writing to the Colossians, describes our condition and God's remedy in Christ in Colossians 1, 21 and 22. "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation." A couple of verses back, verses 19 and 20 of chapter 1 in Colossians say, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him," Christ, "and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." In Romans 5, verses 1 and 2, we read, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand." In other words, we are set at one again with our Creator, aligned with his perfect will, in sync, in tune with, in harmony with his nature, and the Holy Spirit works this nature into us as we walk with God. In Romans 8, 5 and 6, we read, "But those who live in in accordance with the Spirit, or in one accord with the Spirit, have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. We can facilitate the work of the Holy Spirit by yielding to the Holy Spirit's authority. Peter encourages us as we look forward to a new heaven and a new earth to make every effort to be spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. That's from 2 Peter 3, verse 14. I want to talk a little bit about peace with ourselves. Taking the idea of peace being to be set at one again, we find there is often a battle that goes on in our hearts and minds between trusting God or relying on our resources and man's wisdom. Case in point, the COVID-19 situation. We're looking to God to be our refuge and our strength, or are we looking to God to be our refuge and strength, our safety and security? Or are we putting our trust in the authorities and their decisions, hoping for a vaccine that will save us? We want to trust that God is going to take care of us, but we often choose to take matters into our own hands, do what we think is best. So we are double-minded, or our trust is divided. This double-mindedness is caused perhaps by giving in to the fears and insecurity. I find myself becoming fearful about what's going to happen to Dawn or myself as we experience aging in our bodies and minds. Many have a battle with the fear of cancer or an unrealistic fear of death. This causes us disquiet, unrest, uneasiness, not peace. The Spirit in us wants us to experience God's peace, but needs our cooperation. In Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, we read, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." We didn't read the verses 4 and 5 just before that. They're obviously helpful too. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And then the verses about not being anxious. There you have three of the fruits: joy, gentleness, and peace in a couple of verses. We need to be constantly trading our anxieties for God's peace. I'm learning to bring these things to God continually instead of carrying them, not wanting to live with a constant underlying sense of uneasiness. Here's more good advice from Paul in Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." It's simply cooperating or agreeing with what the Holy Spirit is doing in forming the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of peace within us. One of the most damaging blows to the reputation of Jesus' name has always been disunity and division amongst His children. Christian marriages are destroyed, families torn apart by disagreements and quarrels. The Holy Spirit desires to bring unity of heart and mind to marriages, families, and the church, Christ's body here on earth. Peace is expressed in love and unity among believers and is a major theme in the New Testament writings. Jesus prayed for it in the verses in John 17, 22, and 23. "I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." Here's more of Paul's advice in three other scriptures. First Ephesians 4, verse 3, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." Romans 14, 19, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." 2 Corinthians 13, 11, "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you." When we experience peace with God and are at peace with ourselves, we become peace-loving, and we desire to work at peace in our relationships. Instead of stuffing a disagreement or a misunderstanding and allowing it to fester and continue to cause us pain, we choose to deal with it and become reconciled and live in harmony and unity with each other. This too is peace, learning to be set at one again. This understanding of peace, to be set at one again, is a relatively new concept to me, but it seems to make a lot of sense. I once asked the question in one of my sermons, what is God's favorite number? I thought then, and I think now, that it must be one. Us being at peace with God, one with Him, at peace with ourselves, not double-minded, with a divided heart, and at peace with each other. A demonstration on earth of the one we represent, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And here's a benediction. Both benedictions are from the letters to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who calls you is faithful. And then 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. Amen.